Possibly, the Maharal wants to also pangata hakaras atov. Well, how did it come to hakaras atov? Because stam shevach, we wouldn't have a rule of kol amarve lesaper. Because when it comes to shevach, we're limited how much shemech Hashem. But when it comes to giving haidoya, when it comes to hakaras atov, that apparently is much broader, much more wide open. So it's possible that the Maharal then says we have to explain that when we mark your Torah for the Nisim and the Flois, so we have to explain, come to some peace with the idea that we were in Mitzrayim to begin with, and that we had to be there so that we can be mark your Torah for the Nisim and the Flois, and be mark your Torah for the Shibud as well to some extent. So then the Maharal goes on to explain that the in addition to the Nisim of Yitzias Mitzrayim, and perhaps even in addition to the different Yesodos of Amuna that we gained when we were in Mitzrayim, but the HaKadosh Baruch Hu explains to us that the Haitzah was described with two metaphors. In Chumash, it was Haitzah Mikor HaBarzel, and in Medrash, it was like the Leda, like the birthing of an offspring. So the Maharal explains that the Haitzah Mikor HaBarzel, that's the refinery, that's coming out of the Yesh, that's the Avdus, and the metaphor of coming out as an Uber means that we were Uber Yerachim, we were fully engaged in some of the ideas of Mitzrayim, and that's the 49th level of Tumah. So the refinery process is the has to do with removing some of the chesreinus we had, and the delivery has to do with removing us from a recognition of that we were in the 49th level of Tuba. Right, and we reach a certain level of shleimus, even though we were in the Nemtesh Ari Tuma, by virtue of the fact that we came out with the number 6. Good. So now in the fourth parak we began yesterday, so the Maharal explains that in order for the Korah Barzel to be effective, so we have the most effective Korah Barzel when a person meets an opposite of what they are. If a person sees, a person is immersed in something which is diametrically opposed to what they are, then a person gains the foil, the contrast is so much greater that a person gains a certain appreciation of what. And there's one other nakuda we left out that the Maharal describes, and that is the importance of studying and the impact that Talmud Torah has, as he points out, that all inquiry, all havana, all lomdus has to do with being able to dissect different parts of a situation. So when the Chacham is Mo'edus Chumishvatim, so he's already setting us up for having a deeper appreciation of what Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah is, because the first thing he wants to do is categorize the different kinds of halachas we have, the different kinds of mitzvahs, and give some, and that's the beginning of trying to understand them. So, if Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to have a greater understanding of what he wants from us, so by immersing us into a people that are diametrically opposed, that gives us a greater appreciation. And when the Torah says, "Kimasei Eretz Mitzrayim she yeshavtim bo lo yisasu," so that is referring, that comes in the Parsha of Znos. So the understanding is that in the Parsha of Znos is incorporated the diametrically opposed values to what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants from us. So we can understand that that is going after one's taivas, and that is going after one's taivas at the expense of another of Tzelem Elokim, taking advantage of Tzelem Elokim, and at the expense of a relationship that two Tzelem Elokim has in an adulterous relationship. So that is, the Maharal explains, and that's why we are called Shivtei Ka, because we survived being in Mitzrayim without really being impacted. Even though we were immersed in it, we came out without being impacted by the Maises Nus. So the Maharal says, and what Kadosh Baruch Hu wants of us is the diametrically opposed. We should not be running after satisfying ourselves with chomrius, with taivas, and that we should have a full respect for the bekayach, for the potential of Tzelem Elokim, and that we should be fully embracing of relationships, whether it's the family relationship or whether it's the bris with the Rabbeinu Shlomo. So being immersed in a society like Mitzrayim, so that would be becomes very valuable for us, and that's the Ramban, and that's the Kura Barzal, and that's what the Ramban says, that's what the Maharal says, Va'od yesh buzeh misisri ha-chochma, masho yisroel mishubodim davka b'Mitzrayim, v'loim mokeim acher, and that Kadosh Baruch Hu chose Mitzrayim specifically because Mitzrayim was devukim miznos, that they were a place that was drenched with inappropriate relationships and inappropriate way of living. V'yaduah ki ha-nimshach achar ha-znus ha-nimshach achar ha-choymer u-masa ve-hema. And znus represents taiva, chomrius, physical sating. Right, more so than God forbid Yibritzich, and even more so than Geneva, probably. Well, the Fichacham Retire Min Chasota, he brings different rayas. We'll skip to try to keep on what is Nogea for Pesach. The Yisrael Heimim Shalom Li'an the Inyan at Surah. Surah is purpose of the. Surah is this chaymer and this surah. So chaymer is the way the Maharal is using the terms, the chomrius, the time of the physical nature, and surah is what we would call the Tzelem Elokim, is the way Kadosh Baruch Hu shapes wants the shape that He wants us to be in. And apparently the Maharal says that by being immersed in a group of people that are so heavily based on the physical and devoid of the spiritual, so that will characterize, galvanizes for us what are the important parts of our legacy, both in the past and going forward. V'kasher tovin zehete v'shlachol levin ki achemer mitzias pachis. Okay, now the Maharal goes on to a little bit of a tangent, that when you appreciate this, you will come to appreciate that when it comes to the physical world, there's always something that's not complete. Because the physical world is seen as that is having a supportive role. It can help us get someplace. But the physical world is not a goal in of itself. Memela, by definition, the physical world is a world that lacks. Right? Because it has the potential, it has the ability to help us, to get us someplace, to launch us off. But that is, as far as we take, the seriousness of the physical world. V'lechach, kasher lehoyu yisrol b'shlei musam, when we were not yet at a stage of spiritual maturity, we had not yet reached 600,000, which represents a certain accomplishment. So then, Kadosh Baruch Hu made it look as if we don't have a place in this world at all. Okay, this is a mahalach of the Maharal. Halacha Lemaral, it really begins with the Kuzari, and is discussed by the Brisker Rav as well, that the Inyan Atzura, she shleima, vim eina shleima, ein la Inyan, that the spiritual life of a person can reach a shleimus, and in eina shleima, ein la Inyan, I think what that means, that even if it is not complete, if a person is not fully complete in their spiritual lives, there still is a great value. It still is a great accomplishment. I think that's what he means. Alright, so let's explain this best we can. By being in Mitzrayim, we became, the modern word would be, we became invisible. We became ke'ilu, we weren't there. Why is that? So he explains that different parts of the world have different purposes. If a part of the world does not accomplish its purpose, so then it's not a significant part of the world. Because Baruch Hu put something in the world with a certain goal. Kadosh Baruch Hu did not want that item to do other stuff. He had one very defined set of tasks. So if that created item doesn't do what it is supposed to do, it's kilueno. It's no purpose. And hard for us to appreciate. In our world, so if a person, if you have an organization, and a person doesn't do what the head of the organization expects them to do, but they do other good stuff, okay, so we have to reorganize, but that's a good enough reason to keep the person on. But Lu Yitzuyer, you had a perfect organization. Perfect organization means that you were very, very clear as to what you wanted to accomplish, and you were very, very clear as to how you're going to accomplish that. And you're exceptionally clear as to how many people you need to accomplish that. Everybody had their own specific job, and each one did their job in a spectacular way. Perfect organization. There was no slack that you had to pick up, right? You called it perfectly. You called every single employee. You knew exactly what their talents were, exactly what they could accomplish. You put them in the best possible place, most suitable. There was no overlap with other employees. That is a perfect organization. So, and then if you have a perfect organization and one employee does not perform, so that employee becomes valueless, because ultimately damages the productivity of the entire system, and that person is not doing what they were chosen and assigned to do. So that person becomes detrimental and certainly has less value than when that person was fully functional. Right? Again, in a perfect organization, so when one person doesn't do what they're supposed to do, so then they become useless. Mashena Kane, in the organizations that we run, if a person does not do what they're supposed to do, then they're still what? They're still partially functional. And if they pick up the slack from somebody else, okay, then they become justifiable. But in a perfect organization, there's no shot in being justifiable, because everyone has exactly what they're supposed to do. So, in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, Kadosh Baruch Hu is a perfect world. Right? So, again, it's perfect from the context of the Rebbeinu, we may look at it as having imperfections. We may say there's something called perfect and more perfect, right? There's, use that in the Constitution or in different early bills to be a more perfect union or something. So that is conceivable in a human world. But in but it's equally conceivable in a equally conceivable that in a perfect world, if one member doesn't do what they're supposed to do, then they become useless for the entire organization. So in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's world, so Klal Yisrael is supposed to be doing something. If we don't do what we're supposed to do, so then it's not that we become like a regular person, right? The marshal that the Maharal has for this, but yeah, find it in many Sfarim. Kadosh Baruch Hu created different forms of life. Highest form being Medaber, Chai, Tzemeach, and Doime. Okay. Now let's say that Tzemeach underperforms. Let's say the whole class of Tzemeach underperforms. So we don't say, it's still a Gavaldik, a Doime. You know, still, it's a Doime plus. I don't need a Doime. We have a Doime. But now I have and the Tzemeach, even if it doesn't support the Chai in the way it's supposed to support, that's what the point is, that in a certain category of the world, and this is, it's Ke'ilu, it's not there. So the Maharal says, in the world there is Daimem Chai, no, Daimem Tzemeya Chai, Medaber, and Yisrael. It's a Kuzeri approach. It's a very racist approach. It's hard to fully explain it in the modern world, but that's the Kuzari's approach. The Maharal, I think, is going in this trajectory. There is nothing which is less valuable than the material world, right? In other words, there's nothing below Daimim. There's nothing below the chomers of the world. And for Klal Yisrael to be in a supporting role of Mitzrayim, it means Klal Yisrael doesn't really exist. Klal Yisrael. It means the part of this world which is not there. Because for Klal Yisrael, which is supposed to be in its own category, more than Medaber, to now being having a supporting role of the lowest level of Medaber, it means that whatever we're supposed to be doing in the Bria is not getting done. And Kadosh Baruch Hu doesn't need a supporting role for tier 49 of tier minus 49 of the Olam HaChomrei. Harei ki'ilu eilem mitzius klal v'domer zemitam esher manu l'mayla bavur she'etem Yisrael tzuras net nivdelas shishleima. We are our own piece of the Bria u'bavur shle oyu shleimim eilem mitzius. And when we're not shleimim, it's ki'ilu, we don't exist. Okay, so again, so what have we accomplished so far in this perek of the Maharal? The first point that he makes, and makes again later on, is that Mitzrayim presented to us a diametrically opposed system of values to what Klal Yisrael is supposed to be. And by being immersed in diametrically opposed, that gives us greater clarity. Right. Once you're immersed in something which in some way represents something which is a higher level of functioning, it's better for the world to have a physical spiritual connection in some contexts. But if Klal Yisrael was immersed in a nation, right? L'moshel, Jewish people are immersed amongst the American people. The American people have enormous respect for individuality. they have enormous respect for a democracy when it's run the way democracy is run, like in America. So then the idea of one person, one vote, so that is enormous respect for a person. So that is not, one could easily confuse that with respect for the Tzelem Elokim. Right? And the American credo of Horatio Alger's, the idea that a person can always be in a positive trajectory and accomplish and rise up. So that can easily be seen as, and it is, it does touch upon a very Jewish value. So for a Jew in America to be able to discern what is unique about a Kodesh Baruch Hu's morality and mitzvahs and Torah v'chulei v'chulei is a much harder job than if you're immersed in a pagan culture. Then it's much easier. So Kodesh Baruch Hu, in order for us to become, have greater clarity as to what makes Klal Yisrael unique, Kodesh Baruch Hu put us into a Kor Barzel of a group that is diametrically opposed to what we have. So you should know, I'm putting you in the lowest low. Alright? So, and we ended up being in tier minus 49 because of that. So now, there are certain things that we gained greater clarity. Now in addition to that, by putting us in a supporting role for Mitzrayim, Avodim, so we were ki'ilu, not, God's world is missing something. And ki'ilu that we weren't around. So comes Yitzias Mitzrayim, and that is like the birthing of a people. It's not just the refining, it's also the birthing of a people. And it's the completion of the Bria. Because it puts Klal Yisrael back into the picture. All right, so we'll pick up from here. Now let's start the sugya of Ikar V'Tofel. Ikar V'Tofel, I think, is the last major sugya of Birchas Hanenin. The balance of the daf, I believe, introduces mostly, in terms of major sugyas, mostly about Birchas Hamozen and so on and so forth. But now let's focus on Ikar V'Tofel. Ikar V'Tofel is a very, very important sugya and halacha and understanding brachos, but certainly in halacha and halacha lamaisa comes up all the time, right? Chocolate coated peanuts, right? Raw fish surrounded by rice, right? I said, what's the ikur? What's the tofer? Right? The cholent. If you have a Thursday night cholent, yeah. So, Ikar V'Tofel is, we have to nail this down and get it clear, both in terms of the lomdus and halacha lamaisa. Good, and Ikar V'Tofel also gives an opportunity to review some of the Ikar V'Tofel sugyas that we've already learned, and Isham, we said, I said, we'll get to it, don't worry, we'll get to it, because L'chayv, the sugya begins in our Mishnah. Heviu lefono miliach. Tchila upas ima, a person has the group brought to this guest something that was very, very, very salty, like a pickle or something, and then brought a piece of bread with the pickle. So mevarech ala meliach upoiter esapaz shapas tefeil aloi. So in this case. He would make a bracha on the pickle, right? Presumably, why is the piece of bread tofel to the maliach? Who's that?
Just salt.
Right? Person loves lux. But he doesn't like the strong, salty taste. So he says, you know what? Let's put this on a bagel. So, you have to know things can run this way. So the bagel is, so what's the ikar to tofel? So it's in that particular case, right? The guy is really heading for the lux. So you should say, it's the miliach, and the bagel is just help the lux get down. All right. Shaloi halach alamaisa. So the halach is, mevarech ala miliach, upoit teres hapasha, pas tefeil aloi. So what has to be understood in this halacha?
how do we define Iker and Tefach?
Okay, what else?
Earlier he said anything with Pas is automatically the Iker.
Okay, it's a kasha, goes against the rule of love. Pas always being the Iker. Know what else?
What does it mean to bring the Moyach first? Is it together with Pas or is it?
Would it matter if they were not in that order? Okay, have to check that out. Would it matter if not in that order?
I'm saying they're separate, they're not together.
Correct. Right. So would there be a difference in two kinds of tarayvas? This is not a mix, it's not an ikar v'tofa in the mix together. It's not a cholent. All right? But what's even a deeper question that needs to be asked in the Mishnah?
What's Chiddush?
Was that?
What's Chiddush?
What is the Chiddush?
What do you mean you make a brach and eker?
What do you know that from? In this Mishnah.
Did we learn a few daf ago already?
Because they quoted this Mishnah. They quoted this Mishnah. Zeh klal kol shu eker v'imay tveila mevarach and eker poit teres at tveila.
I feel like the classic eker and tefel should be bread. Like the bread is the eker and something else is tefel.
Okay, because you have pas and parperas with even a. A stronger, deeper question that you're all taking for granted.
I can't wait to hear it.
Was that? Maybe you're saying, maybe you would be. Go ahead.
Bracha, like, how can a bracha on, like, let's say, box, like a shako, patra, mozi?
How can a patra, mozi?
Why not just do both?
Why not do both? Right? Why are we limiting ourselves to only one bracha? What did Chazal say? What's the basis for the old din? If you were to tell me there's some overarching rule that we only can make one bracha, and then if you were to tell me that there's a cholent, so you have to have only one bracha, and then if you were to tell me another chiddush that you have something which is first brought chil and then brought secondary. Right, so you have to tell me that there's it. So then, I know where to look. But when Gemara just says the Mishnah just puts down, whenever you have something, whether it's an ikur and a tofel, right? L'chayr, if you have an ikur ve'ikur, different, then we different. But you have an ikur and a tofel. Mevarech alo ikur upoiters atfela. Why? If you're going to tell me that when you make a borei pri adoma, you have already made a borei pri eitz because it's included in the lashon. Okay, I understand that. Even though in the simplest cases, so a person even will make. We'll make both brachas, but over here the question is, Lanias Daiti, why didn't Chazal? Why are we stingy on brachas? What's the yisoid over there? We're missing. Kol she ikur v'imay tefela mevarach alo ikur upoiter v'sat tefela. So what do I have to understand? Lanias Daiti, you have to understand, first of all, you say to the Mishnah, what's wrong with saying two brachas? Why did Chazal go for one bracha? Okay, that's question number one. Question number two is how are we defining Iker and Tofel? Now, just based on this Mishnah, how are we defining it?
The
tafel
isn't there for its own right, it's just there as a supporting
the tafel is here to help the achila of the ikur. Right? Or may not even help the achila of the ikur. It may help me digest. It's afterward. So me ikamide de havi meliach ikur upas tfela. The Gemara's kasha is hayitochem that pas should be the secondary item. Mi ikamide to have a meliach ikur pas tfeila. Omer Rav Acha b'reidni Rav Aviram Omer Rav Ashi, the Oichle Peiroi is Genasar. So what's the Kasha? What's the Teretz? What's the Mi'ik Amidei?
I guess we assume
that the pas was coming because of the Maliach, but when I was asking that, it never become tough out. I think it's like, yeah. Why didn't the Gemara just say, Mi'ik Amidei, Dave, Pas Tvela? Mi'ik Amidei, Habi Maliach, Ikar, Pas Tvela. So what's the Gemara's Kasha? And then the Gemara's Teretz is, yeah, with Peiroi's Genasar. Then you have the situation. So what was the kasha to which is the good teretz? No, Yosef?
I'm
not there yet. Well, how do you read the Gemara? How did Rashi read the Gemara? What was the kasha of the Gemara?
Like, are you talking that the pas is talked about to the Aliyah?
So first of all, why is that a good kasha? Why is this pasha? In this particular case, I need a chaser. I ate something; it's bothering me, and I have a cracker in order to it should stop bothering me. Is that so hard to say that that's tofel?
You don't pasha different.
What, I'm sorry.
You don't pasha usually different.
But I'm talking about in this particular case. In this particular case, it's so hard to accept the idea that the cracker is helping a piece of herring. So, you liked it, it was good, it went down okay. Now the aftertaste is not so geschmack. So you have so the only reason I'm having this cracker, I don't like crackers, right? I only eat crackers when I have a piece of strongly scented herring, right? Right, I only have crackers when I put chopped liver on top of it. I don't know, otherwise who eats crackers, right? So why is that so hard to say? And then the answer is, Peiroi's Genasar. The answer is, when you have unbelievably sweet peiros, then what happens? No?
Then you have pas.
So now, have you answered your question? If your question was, how are you talking that bread could ever be a tafel? And so would it be, because to have bread after herring, bread's going to be a tafel? So, it's talking where you had fruit and herring and wine and the bread. Oh, so now we got it. What does it help? What is the chagadja, right? What is that? What does that help to understand the kasha? If we got the kasha right, l'chara that means. Yeah. No, Boaz, go ahead.
I was going to say that Rashi mentions chashivas with regard to Sipir and Spinoza. So, we're asking, how can you say that Moliach is more chashiv than pas? The word answering, in this case it is because it's only fought.
Okay, let's try that. Mika Midek. Tavin Moliach Ikubas Tfeilom. Klezit Shayach. That bread could ever be less choshev than a piece of herring, than a cucumber, than a pickle. So Rashi is saying that the ikar and tofel doesn't have to do with one helping or serving the other. That has to do with one being less or more significant to Rashi. He's saying, even if I have a herring and a piece of bread, at the end of the day, the bread is still more choshev than the herring. So how can I make a bracha shahakol and be part of the bread? Omer Rav Achim Reid Rivi Avir, Omer Rav, but oichle peiroi is genasar. No. We have to look at the full story over here. We're missing the first slide, right? We're missing the first scene. First scene, the guy is having peiroi is genasar. Whoa. So peiroi is genasar is the dover choshev ad ma'oi. Was that Lashon? Rashi's Lashon. Peiroi is eretz yam kineret chashuvim min apas. So there already, when it comes to it's rolls like a fruit, when it comes to Kinneret fruit, that beats out even the most gewaltig pastry, right? Even a five talents melt away, you know, even a bab kitiya, throws genasar, beats and all that. So now what's happened? So instead of, in that context, bread could be not so choshev, right? Now, I had these papers genasar, right? That's the meal. That's what I'm invited to have, right? Now I'm going crazy because I can't handle something that's so sweet, so I have to have a melia. Now I'm still going crazy because I can't handle something which is so sweet and so sour, so I have bread. Right? So what Boaz is saying is that Rashi's pshat is that bread is always the most choshev. Ikir v'tofel is chashivos. And then the Gemara says, well, bread never takes, is never less choshev, right? Hamoitzi lechem in aretz. Right? Pas. Not possible. Even if I really want the herring, even if I really want the pickle, and even if I'm eating the bread in order to, but still, bread is more choshev. The Gemara says, there's one thing in the world that is more choshev. So now we understand why we line this up. Because now the bread is in the context of the Peres Genesar. That also explains the Hemshech HaSugya. Omer Rashi, Baruch Le Peres Genesar. Shonu Rav, Omer Rabba Barachonu, Havi Azlina and Basrei. You want to know something about Peres Genesar? Omer Rabba Barachonu, Kavina Azlina and Basrei. The Rav Yechanan. When we would follow Rav Yechanan. I don't know if this means we follow Rav Yechanan. It means he was going from Rav Yechanan to travel from Eretz Yisrael to Babel. And back, obviously, he traveled frequently. Rav Yechanan was a Talmud of Rav, and he was heavily responsible for bringing Rav's Torah. Was that Eretz Yisrael? So he apparently and he began in Eretz Yisrael. Rav was in. I think it was the Tkufa when Rav was in Babel. I think so, but we can check it up in the history books. I think so. So then, Lemechal Peres Genesar, Ki Havinan Beimea, if we had 100 Talmidim following Rabbi Yechanan, Menachtina Lelechol Chad Machanasara, Asara, each one took 10 Peres. Vechavinan Beasara, and when we only got 10 people to follow Rabbi Yechanan, the crowds didn't come this time. So minaktin ale kol chad v'chad meya meya. So each person took 100. Vaisachai is how many fruits did Rav Yechanan? 1,000. Good. V'chol meya minayu have machzik lutzan v'bar tlos asave. Right, and you should know these were not tiny little. What are those little oranges called? Was that even smaller? Smaller. Oh, good. They weren't little kumquats. You talking about 1,000 kumquats? Was that? Right. They were the meraglim fruits because if you had a bowl that was machzik bar tlos or sovi, so then you still had to have. Kol mei nayu. Every you needed 10 of these huge bowls to hold all of these fruits, and the ochel lehu, and Rabbi Yechanan was able to eat all 1,000. Maybe they were kumquats. I don't know. O mistabeya de leitom. Sorry. Oh yes, and then he would say. He didn't. He wasn't full. He wasn't satisfied. In other words, they were so delicious that a person that could continuously eat more and more and more. Why is that important? Why is that an important thing to record? Was that? No. Because we so it's a good kasha, right? Rabbi Yavo, ochel ad dehavi shorik le duvdava me'apuse. He would have the peres genesar were so delicious that he would eat until he became so, he perspired so much that adubda would come out of his face. Rashi says what?
Fly
would
come out.
No,
fly would
slip.
Exactly.
Slip
off the Schwitz.
Right. Oh, yeah. And Rav Asi Rami, these fruits were so delicious that they would eat until it's Dantur Mazayu, hair would fall out. Right, the Morin and Tarashi says he would, his mind was, I guess, a little bit shaker, I guess. Vom Rav Yechanan le Rebbe, no, le Rebbe le Dvei Nesia, v'havei mishade le Rav Yehuda Nesia ba'olosh Basre. Umaisi lola beise. Ki also Rabdimi Omar ir achas hoyu saloy li yanaya melach bahora melach shum hoyu moitsi mi meno shishim ribo safle tris le koit say to enim the erev shabbos le erev shabbos. So let me hear in the middle of the story. Why are we discussing all of these things? Because we want to say, we want to show, according to Rashi, we want to show how choshev peiros get a sarar, right? Because the whole point is that the peiros get a sarar so choshev. So then, according to Rashi, we understand why we're doing all of these stories. But I have to know how many fruit we have, how many people carried it.
But that's, these aren't peiros get a sarar.
The whole point
is that they had those things to take away, like the
sweetness
of the
Peiros Genesar.
Yeah.
Amar Ravashi, Peiros Genesar Shonu, the Mechal Peiros Genesar.
Yeah.
All right? So, Mara says, so that would fit in well with Rashi's approach. So what's Rashi saying? That Mikamide Tavi Meliach Iker Vipas Tfeilo. It's not shaykh to say that a piece of bread would ever be tofel, would ever be of secondary importance to a pickle, secondly importance to something which is like a condiment that's charif, even a piece of fish that's charif, that's impossible. But to say that tofel tfeilo genesar, that would become.
So we're recording Rashi, we're retranslating Mishnah, that Meliach doesn't actually mean Meliach, I mean,
Peiros Genesar. Look, I mean, that's what he's actually saying, yeah.
Isn't that hard?
I mean, no, it's saying, Heviu lefonov peiros umeliach, but it's assuming that the peiros were brought first. That's, I think you're right. I think that's the pshat in the Mishnah.
But the Mishnah says, Mizvarach al-Meliach, not Mizvarach al-Peiros
Genesar. Yeah.
So it can't.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point. Okay, we'll see in a moment. The Upoiter is a pass. So Tosva says, "Ba'echle peiros genesar shonu shemiliach iker shehubo lo shiv alev shenechlash bivnei mesikus ha'peiros." Vapaz shelacharav tofel ve'enoy bo elo bishvil ameliach. So Tosva says that the bread comes because of the sharpness of the meliach from tomer peiros havi ikur meliach tofel ulevarach ala peiros v'lifter kulu. So Tosfos asked the Rekeni's question that according to the Rashi's Mahalach, we still haven't made, we don't get pshat, Tosfos Kasha. Tosfos says in this situation should not be Mevarach al Meliach, but should be Mevarach al Peiros. Right? Good? That's the Kasha? Right? Good. V'yei Shalom, as the Tosfos answers the Kasha, then Mari Shalom Ochal al Peiros ba'oisai maimid. Inami b'shasha ochal peiris genosar. Lo'yhoya shamedayin meliach. Upas. Lo'yhoya yoideya sheyechlash liboi machmas amesikos. So the Tosfos answers it basically the same teretz, no? Basically the same idea. It means b'shas that he made the bracha and the peiris, the bread wasn't there. And the meliach wasn't there. Right? It wasn't ba'oisai ma'amud. He made a bracha on the peiros. The bread wasn't there, the meliach wasn't there. Or, inami b'shosha achal peiros. It was all there, but he said, I don't need that stuff. I have peiros genesar over here. I'm just going to stick with the peiros genesar. I'm not going to go to another table in shmor. I don't need it. It was all out there. But his kavana, so either it wasn't there, or his kavana, but it's the same overall issue. That b'shas he made the bracha and the peiros, he could not pat the tofel at that point. It wasn't there. So in other words, the Tosfos is saying, just like the Mishnah, the Gemara says that the Mishnah began in the middle of the story, so we're missing the first bracha also. Zeinachanami, heviu lefonav peiros genesar. He made a gevaldige bari priyates. Kavona atzuma. And then he couldn't handle the sweetness. Right? So now they brought in Meliach. He made a bracha on the Meliach. But he realized that he's going to need something to dilute the Meliach. So he already had it in mind. They know whenever I have this, I'm going to have some bread afterward. Right? Tosfos is Teretz.
Doesn't
an answer the question.
There's still a question, Rashi. If you just give me a different shot on how to read it, Pigmar, he's not answering for Rashi.
Explain to me.
Because for Rashi, the answer has nothing to do with the Chashivas of the Peiros Genesar. It's saying, Tosfos is creating an alternative case where you would be able to read the Mishnah in a quote, or the question of the Gemara in a coherent way. But Tosfos' answer has nothing to do with the Chashivas of Peiros Genesar. Because that's not answer the question. If it's about chashivas, the Tosfos answer doesn't care whether it's chashiv or not.
What's the question? What's the question for Tosfos?
What?
What's the question for Tosfos?
I'm saying if you read Rashi the way that you read the Mishnah, it would be hard because you're making a bracha on the Meliach, and Rashi doesn't bring up anything about the Meliach. He says
Rashi would say that the Meliach and the Peiros are
kind of
the same thing.
I know. So how do you read that? Meliach just means peiros, sweet peiros. That's the opposite.
Yeah, because they're both strong things. You need to use tofel in order to.
But according to the way we're understanding Rashi, is that the Gemara opens up by saying, "Pas is never less chashuv than a meliach." So Rashi says, "Oh, it is less chashuv than peiros genesar."
And that's how you can make the bracha.
No, so that's where we get stuck. That's where we get stuck. So then, according to Rashi, he should be making the brachas. He should be making a bori priyates. That's Tosfos' kasha, correct?
Right. So what's so? How does Tosfos? So what does Tosfos say? The question of the Gemara is: we how does Tosfos read that question?
Why couldn't Tosfos? Right. Okay. Ilmiu kamide tavimilich ikur pas tefela. Right. Okay. So
he's reading it on like the simple level, like when you find a case where the Meliach is the Iker and the Pas is the Tafel.
Yeah.
Oh, it's a case of Peiros Genesar when you don't have Meliach and Pas in front of you and you only get them later because you realize you have the sweetness of the fruit.
Yeah.
It seems a little convoluted.
You see that in the next Tosfos, though. That's how you read it tomorrow.
The Alpha Gav Dashmina the Pas Poiter is Apar Paris, Isfah Lashmina the Pa'amim the Pas Tafel.
So that's how you read the question.
Right? So what are the. So when. But the. We would. According to Tosfos, we would not say Peiros, Eretz, Yamakineres, Chashuvim in a Pas. Because according to Tosfos, that's not what's happening in the Sugya.
Then, but what's the answer? If it's not about Chashivas.
Okay, good, 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 good. That's a good kasha. Let's look at the Ritva. The Ritva says, "Eichlei peiris genasar shonu peiris mishum de peiris genasar heim shmeinim umisukim harbe," because they were so sweet. The Gemara says in Pesachim. No, doesn't Gemara say in Pesachim that when it wasn't allowed to go to Yerushalayim via the Genesar region. Right? Because the Gemara says that the person's going to Yerushalayim and he's going to bring a korban, or he's going for the mitzvah of Riyah. So the Gemara says he can't go via the fields of Genesar. Why? That's not what the Gemara says. Gemara says because you might end up having the fruits of Genesar, and then you might say, even if I only would have had the fruits of Genesar Dayenu. And the Gemara says that a person may end up going to Yerushalayim and saying, you know, the whole trip was worth it because I got those pears of Genesar. So that would have been very, insulting. It would be offensive to Yerushalayim. Going to the Makim HaMikdash, bringing korbanos, thinking koinim ba'avodasam, mitzvah tzvi l'rego. And a person's going to say, oh, the whole trip was worthwhile just to have the peiros. So Gemara says, don't go by the peiros. Right? That's how Gevaldik the Paris for. So one suggested that that's Pshat and Dayenu. I don't know, I can't say that the only place it comes up in Shas. But I can say something because I remember that it comes up in Shas. So the Dayenu, so this, so L'chaira, it gives us an insight into the period of Dayenu. Because L'chaira, if you take a guy aside and say, was it really worthwhile? You packed up your whole house, you left for a whole day, for a whole week, and you got to go to Yerushalayim, so you're really telling me that it was kedai to make this trip, and that was what's for the payers. The more kedai than going to Yerushalayim. That means a guy wouldn't say that in a reasonable frame of mind where he's thinking. But it could be that when a guy is sitting down one night after a long, long day of walking and traveling and taking care of seven kids on the way and settling all their fights, and finally it's a few days before Yom Tov and he has everything settled in the hotel and he sits down to have papers Genesar, he could say, oh, all this aggravation, all this trip was worth it. It doesn't really mean that the whole trip in Chilosev at Saifa. It doesn't mean he hasn't seen the bill yet for the caravan from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael. He hasn't seen the credit card bill yet. So he doesn't really mean it. He has to bring a korban chatas. The guy needs to get kapara. He's going to bring a korban shlomim. He invited all his friends to have the shlomim, have a big party. So he doesn't really mean that this kumquat, this gavaldig piri made it all worthwhile. He means ba'oisei rega uba'oisei shot, that one particular moment, he had a hergish. He had a moment where he said something that's not necessarily correct or reasonable. So that's Lanias Daiti, that's a gavaldig ater, it's all the kashas dayenu. Right? All the kashas, and we ask what dayenu, really, ilubonu harsinai, like yalun satara. Right, so the Torah says Dayenu is not supposed to be this well thought out piyut where every single line makes sense. It's supposed to be an emotional expression of this particular moment. But in the long span of our experiences, if we would have been in our scene, obviously the Torah would have been a terrible, would have been a tragedy. It's going to be a pshat. Anyways, coming back to our Gemara. So our Gemara says that, so the Ritva says that these gevaldige peirish shmeinim and masukim harbe ve'einon ne'acholim, and you cannot eat them ella in melach harbe. Ulahachlish charifusoi shel melach oichel apas v'nimtosh apas tefeilo lapeirois. Lefichach mivorech ala peirois upoiter es apas. Right, the Ritva says peirois genes that was an experience. Wasn't a dessert. It was a peirois genes our experience. Right. There's a vile drink that you're supposed to enjoy if you mix it to tequila, right? So you're supposed to enjoy by having all sorts of other things at the same time, right? And also you have salt and something like that. So this is didn't have the terrible taste that you have to have an experience, but look, it's the same kind of thing. That the pear is the pear genesar. It's an experience. It's not a. So in that particular, when they brought out the whole plate, right? So they brought out its mamish against what Taisha says was a different maimed. The Ritva says for kid. No, it was a boy say maimed. It was with the pay race, with the meliach, with the yamkiner becholkish al naftoli oisa. Vizel shetirgim munkles vachsante dey abdapirin yain moiden umivorchin alein mibnei de lo oila main iker. If you look at the Targum, in the bracha of Naftali, that's a bracha that Naftali gets Gevaldige Peiros. No, it means it gets a Gevaldige bracha. When every person comes to Naftali, they're going to make a bracha davke on Naftali's Peiros. So what is Taisha's pshat? What is the Ritva's pshat? What's the kasha? What's the teretz according to the Ritva? What's the teretz?
It sounds like a mixture of Rashi and Tosfos.
What's the teretz? That the bread is tofel to the fruit. Okay, good. So the answer is the bread is tofel to the fruit. Right? Because the only reason you're having the bread is to get peiros genesar. What's the kasha to which this answers? What could the kasha possibly be? That I can't imagine. It's a mitzias like a kasha. It's not shayach to say a piece of bread is tofel to a pickle. Not shayach. A piece of bread is tofel to lux. Not shayach. That's the more umiikamidei. Very simple question. Mitzias. What is the Mishnah talking about? Lefonu miliach v'tchilu pas im amarchal melach miliach upoiter is atofel. How you talking? So Gemara says itochen when you have the chosh of a peiros of peiros kenasar. So let's go slow over here. What happens over here? So we make lefil mavorch ala peiros upoiter is apas. Yeah, so Lachar, that's a little bit difficult, no?
It's part of the chain.
I thought this was
the Chag Gadyim
shot.
Yeah.
How's the Chag Gadyim shot?
Eating the Paros because the Meliach, because the Paros.
Right?
Because you're eating the Paros, therefore you're eating the salt, and because you're eating the salt, therefore you're eating the Pas.
Yeah.
No, I got that, but why? So, why is it that you're making a bracha on the meliach?
You know.
If the bread who poiter,
no, because meliach is point. Also tough out of the pears.
The problem, and this is a similar problem I was having with Rashi.
Right, correct, right. Umevorchen aleyon, mevnei de lo oilam hein iker, umevorchen aleyon who poiter is ashar. So lechay should be making a bari priates. On the Paris. But the Mishnah says, Mevarch ala miliach upoiter is a pas. No, not a kasha.
Paris are miliach.
No.
I think Taisus doesn't have any problems with this shot.
Rambam says, Kemach shel echad mechameishes haminim, Shebishlai b'kedei rabein levadei bein shivim and dvarim acherim. If you have flour and you cook the flour either alone like oatmeal or together with other things like oatmeal and the cranberries, can go in the voice, or you have a pancake situation. Good. The bracha is kol shu iker, the imay tefela mevarach al iker, u poiter es at tefela. Bein shehoyisa at tefela mureves im iker, bein shaloy hoyisa mureves. Keitzah hi at tefela han mureves. Okay, so you have levis, a kruv, shebishla, yivikemach, fine. And then he says, avlum irev kedelita in tam betarei hoz iker. But he doesn't quote exactly our sugya, right?
No.
Sorry?
No parasite.
Correct. And not only no parasite, but what else does he add?
Shloyazik.
Was that?
Shloyazik doesn't damage.
Yeah.
We're just trying to ask kind of like a
preventative. If it's for a reason, it's more than just like a karif. You need the bread, it's so large.
You need the bread because you're eating salt.
Kol shu iker v'imay tefela, mivarcha lo iker v'poitz a tefela. Lo'im v'boyim v'iker v'ura v'matofel el afilu kol echon l'vadoi v'echel pas, afilu pas shu choshev v'kol adam. Afilu pas shu choshev Mikol im hu tofel kigoin she oichel dag miliach oichel pas imoy she lo yazikenu begroinoi mivarach al hadogu poiter apas. Kevan she hu tofel. Good boys.
The reason could be that they're not mentioning just no, because no suspension, that it was like a whole different part of the suya afterwards. It wasn't like at the same time. It was like minutes or even
before,
more than that. No, it was after. Like it's a whole new type of or part of the meal.
No, the fruit was before, I thought.
No, so it was fruit and then there was a little break and then
yeah.
Recover with the maliach and with the pas.
Right.
So that's why it's not mentioning any.
Right.
In this
money
because it's not the point. But like,
right. Correct. That's like one day intelligence, correct. Good. So what do we have to figure out in this sugya? What are our kashas? Kasha number one is why don't we make a bracha on both? Why are we stingy in brachas? Okay, good. Kasha number two.
What do they mean?
When Rashi says that the peiros are chashuvim, so l'chara we should end up saying something along the line of making the bracha on. So the kasha sounds like a kasha in mitzias, and the teretz sounds like a teretz in mitzias, but then the teretz of the Gemara doesn't. What's the yeshivish way of saying it? Shtim. Very good. Okay. Good, okay. Gotta expand your Hashim's vocabulary. Doesn't stem with the Mishnah. Correct?
That's not a curse on Rashi.
Well, look, it's a kasha, it's a clear kasha in the Ritva.
It's
clearly a kasha in the Ritva. Because the Ritva says you make a bracha on the dog.
Oh, I'll have to say that. It's the same thing.
But it's not the same thing. You have to also this. Okay, now it's a kash in the Ritva. I believe it's a kash in Rashi also, but if you feel better every night saying it's a kash in the Ritva, I'll let it go. And then next, what's the kash in Tosfos?
I think it sounds pretty good. No, because
the Gemara says you make a bracha on Maliach, not a Paris.
Exactly, so that's a
question on
Tosfos.
That's
a kasha in the Ritva. Tosfos says the Marshal Shalei Ochal HaPeres Ba'Oisei Mamad. So according to Tosfos, it means I ate my Peres Genesar at 9 o'clock in the morning. Right? And then, so what is the kasha of the Gemara according to Tosfos? Is it a Metzias kasha or is it a Halacha kasha? I'm sorry.
Why
yeah. So what's the kasha with the terrorist? Was that?
Why are you eating
Maliach? Is there ever a time where you would eat the Maliach where it would be the Iker and possible? It doesn't make any sense.
According to
Tosfos, right. Says, yeah, so now exactly. We found it. So it's a Metzias kasha.
Yeah.
So it's a Metzias kasha, and the Mishnah jumps in the middle and doesn't tell us the first part of the Metzias
yeah.
And the Maimon.
Yeah.
Okay, good.
Still, of course, we still have to figure out why you're being Mekarech on the Maliach.
Say it again?
We still have to figure out why. No, if it's all about Hashiva,
it's the second part. It's not the second part of the meal. It's like not part of the original meal.
Okay.
So, what else?
You rely on your Paris.
Why would you
be Mekarech on the Maliach? Because you're eating the Maliach for the fruit. No, you're eating the Maliach for the fruit. The main part of the meal is just to get rid of the sweetness of the fruit. So that's the Iker part of the meal. You're eating the Tosa.
I don't care.
We're going back to step one. Tosa, we have to figure out step one. That's the question. And the answer is that the main part of this meal is the Maliach because you ate the fruit. Now, since that's the main part of the meal, the bread is just tough to the main part of the meal. Which is the
so I'll ask you again. Why?
But that's the Havamina. I'm telling you the answer. The Havamina is Mikmidi. How do you ever have a case where Maliach could be the Iker part of the Suda? We have Paz, the Parperas, and other stuff like that. That's the next Tosfos Medvarech on Maliach. So comes the Gemara and says, yeah, this case is different. This case, when you have something so sweet, then you have this really salt thing that now is the Iker part of the meal. To get rid of the salt, sweetness, now you have the
I hear what you're saying. I don't understand why.
What?
Would you still not say that it's bread versus Maliach? It's not.
The only reason of the Suda is to get rid of the sweetness. That's the only reason why you're having the Suda right now with the bread.
I hear what you're saying.
Good, okay. Go back to tomorrow.